Michael Healy-Rae is the junior minister in the Department of Agriculture with special responsibility for both forestry and horticulture, two of the hardest hit areas in the last week. He joins me on the line from his home in Kilgarvan. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, Philip, and good morning, John, and to all your listeners. And I'm grateful for the opportunity of being on this show.
Well, we're grateful that you got up and you were able to talk to us this morning. You set up the task force, as John was saying there. It's going to meet first now on Tuesday morning. What people like John want to know is, how long are you going to give this task force to do its work and to report back to you? And what are you going to be doing in the meantime?
Well, first of all, I have approved the setting up of the windblow task force to coordinate the response to the storms, with particular emphasis on dealing with being safe about this problem. And because of the large areas of forest that have blown down, the Department of Agriculture, Food and Forestry and Fisheries and the Marine has published a windblow and storm damage guidelines for forest owners in the week before the storm one actually occurred. But one thing that I'm very conscious of when I was listening to John there, he doesn't want to hear gobbledygook coming from the department. And I can guarantee him that's not going to be the case. This is going to be a serious plan of working with and working for the farmers that have been affected. I listened very closely to when he said he'd hope that the sawmills will not try and take advantage of this situation. I'm very, very hopeful that that will not be the case. And I'll tell you why. The sawmills that we have in Ireland, many of them are family businesses. They appreciate the fact that that farmers plant trees. So they will not be in this for what I would call a quick buck. And I won't allow that happen. And I know they won't want it to happen. Because when it comes to growing trees, you're part of a team. You need the farmer to grow the trees. You need the hauler to haul them. You need the people to harvest them to haul them. And then the sawmills to be there and to be working with you. Of course, like anything, it's like going to the market with a cow. They'd hoping to be doing the best they could, of course, for themselves. But they do realise you have to be fair about an emergency situation okay. like this. There are immediate things. Sorry?
Well, let me just move you on, because we don't have a huge amount of time, Minister. I'm sure that people will be reassured what you're saying about the sawmills, particularly as I think 75% of what goes through Irish sawmills goes to the continent, where the price is going to remain constant because there wouldn't be enough Irish timber to affect the price there. So it should, as you say, stay at a fair price. But the thing that I think most people want to hear you talking about this morning is the felling licences, which at the moment are taking between 9 and 12 months to grant. Now, in Wales, as you heard John Sherlock say, they took a very simple step after Storm Dara. They just published the following announcement. They said, "We will not take enforcement action against you for failure to obtain a felling licence for woodland management activities needed as a direct result of Storm Dara." Could you do the same for Storm Éowyn?
Well, immediately after the storm, I studied very much what they did in Wales and how they handled the situation. 15 minutes after being appointed by the Taoiseach, I sat down with officials in my department and I raised this very point with them about the felling licences. Now, there is one thing for people to know and to understand. And obviously, this is not the case in all of the fallen timber. But you must understand that many of the thousands of hectares that are on the ground now actually possess a license already, because licenses had been issued and licenses had been granted.
So they can move ahead, but for those that don't, what are you going to be able to do?
And just one other point on that, remember where people had thinning licenses, right? I can see no reason in the world why a thinning license shouldn't be changed to a felling license, because all the necessary and appropriate assessments have taken place. So those are practical things that I'm going to be looking at with my officials.
And will that happen? Will that happen now, Minister, or is that just your hope?
No. There's another point I want to make. When you talk about speed dialing licences, there's a very important issue that we have to be careful about in Ireland. And this is very important for you to hear and for your listeners to hear. When a licence is granted, it has to be extremely robust and not open to challenge in any shape or fashion. that is important because we do have a lot of instances in Ireland where that is a problem for us. So I don't want to see a farmer get a license quickly that will actually be no good to him, because in 2 years' time he might be still held up because of challenges. And believe me, people watch out for things like that. And if they don't see a thing being done right, they will challenge it. So I don't want that to happen to farmers. That would actually be the worst thing that could possibly happen. And so we'll take whatever steps we can to issue the licenses quickly. I was very grateful.
Give us a timeline on what quickly is in your mind, though, Minister, because at the moment there are foresters who are looking at trees that are going to start rotting.
Yes. Well, as you know, at the moment it's taking 6 to 9 months. That is a vast improvement on what the situation was before. And I know that the senior minister and the secretary general and all the different heads of the departments, when we met the other day, a big group of us, this is a major concern to us, that we do act in the quickest but surest way mm-hmm. that we can.
Well, I hear you I'm on that, but have you a timeline in mind then, do you?
I do, and I'll tell you exactly what the timeline is. The quickest way we can do it, that will be pro-farmer, that will be pro the people on the ground that have grown the trees, and at the same time, that it will be robust and not open to challenge. Because if I was to say tomorrow morning, Philip, literally at the drop of a hat, these licenses should be issued. And if every license then that we issued was challenged, and if we finished up in 12 months or in a year and a half or in 2 years' time...
I hear what you're saying, but you know, in Wales...
That would be the worst thing you could do.
Absolutely agreed. But in Wales, they were able to do it within 3 weeks. Do you not think that a similar timeline is achievable here?
I would absolutely agree with you that that would be great. But you must know what happens on the ground here when it comes to dealing with licenses.
Okay.
And you must understand that we have, unfortunately, a history here in Ireland of people on the sidelines watching what a department does. And if they see any weakness in the actions of that department, they challenge it. And I don't want us to fall victim of that.
All right, Minister, I need you to stay with us now.
That's very, very important.
I want you to stay with us while we move on to the other part of your brief to horticulture. There's another interview I'd like you to take a listen to, please. Because in my travels this week, I noticed that second only to trees, Storm Éowyn focused much of its wrath on polytunnels. Where growers had two, one would be gone. Where they had four, two would be gone. And the polythene would be wrapped around the top of a tree several hundred yards away. Passing through East Galway, between Gledamady and Williamstown, I called into Mick Wright and Audrey Heshen and their organic salad leaf business in Millhouse Farm, a business which until last Friday operated almost entirely under polytunnels.
You slept through it, you had your earphones in. I was awake most of the night.
When storms come, I put the earphones in because I don't want to hear what's happening.
Okay. I was worried the roof was going to come off the house at one stage. I imagined that it was going to be fairly bad out here, but I didn't really picture what was waiting me.
Lord.
We had 26 tunnels in production Thursday. And by Friday morning, we're down to 13.
Exactly half, yeah.
And some of them, like the structures are gone.
The whole metal frames have just been twisted and absolutely scrunched up, haven't they?
Yeah.
Oh, lads.
Well, if you want to guess how many tunnels this was from that tangled mess, I'll let you keep them.
It's hard to tell where one starts and the other finishes.
Yeah, it's like a bowl of spaghetti, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Dare I ask the question about whether you're insured and whether you can claim on this?
I'll have to get in contact with the insurance company and see where that is. We're insured, but, you know, we haven't. These were all done. You built them all yourself over the years. Second-hand tunnels, repurposed old mushroom tunnels. So they're not itemised, okay. You know, on the insurance. But we'll see.
Are you worried that if you were to make a claim on this now that you might not get insurance again in the future?
Possibly. I'll have to look at it. I don't know. I'll just have to inquire when we get our phone back.
When you get your phone back.
Yeah.
That'd be the appalling vista, wouldn't it, Mick? That an actuarial accountant somewhere would end up saying, no, do you know what? It's not worth our while. It's too risky a business insuring growers in this country. And that would be what would end up deciding whether you're in business or not.
It's not something I really think about too much. You know, we're in this for what we do at Farm. We'll find a way through it and that's it. It's a mess to look at it now, but close your eyes and imagine what it'll be in a year's time again.
You see yourself in business in a year's time. This is not going to put you out of business.
No. We do need supports to get through this. You know, we do. Maybe with the TAMS scheme and the horticultural scheme, they need to look at opening that now, like to maybe fast track some grant schemes now. And so.
But what are you looking for from government? How quickly do they need to move?
As quick as possible, really, you know. Next month will be, you know, just to get an order in with a company to get the frames built.
And you wouldn't have the peace of mind placing that order unless you knew that there was going to be some level of government support there.
You would need to know beforehand. Yeah. Like, you can't approach a project like this. Like, you're talking about 1,500 square metres of tunnels just in this block. That's a six-figure investment.
That would be an improvement for us. Like, if we did it in one block, it would be ultimately better than what we had beforehand, you know, so...
Yeah.
Have you done a back of an envelope calculation as to what you're looking at here?
Yeah, this is the man here. Yeah. He never stops. Yeah.
it's north of €100,000.
Gulp.
Yeah.
Is this heartbreaking or is this soul-destroying? Where is it on that spectrum?
Well, you can't really think about that. You just have to think about getting it back into production, really, you know? It's what else can you do?
Build back better.
move forward. You know, there's no point in looking back. It is what it is. Just move on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the case.
And okay, well, you're made of tougher stuff than I am then, because I'm looking at this and it would almost bring you to tears thinking about how much work you have ahead of you here.
Yeah.
Speaking of building back better, if you were able to rebuild all of this as glass rather than as polythene tunnel, would you be more climate-proofed?
Possibly, yeah. Storms like that, it's hard to know really what's going to happen. Like, the wind speeds were phenomenal. You know, I've from Wexford, I've lived by the coast, and I've lived in West Clare by the coast, and I've seen storms, but nothing like what we had. Like, winds like that are just crazy. It's hard to know what it would stand it.
Just that I noticed when I was in the Netherlands about a year or so ago that they have quite a big industry in selling second-hand greenhouses.
Yeah. It probably is something that should be looked at in Ireland, like in grant schemes should be opened up maybe more for second-hand as well. We can certainly source a lot better over there than we can here.
Maybe the storm Eowyn's, nothing is going to withstand that, but for the storm Dara's, would a greenhouse, glass greenhouse, be a little bit more robust?
Greenhouses are, glass is more robust, and as well, because it's in panes, you might lose some glass, but you can replace sections. Once polythene goes, it's gone, like it's a complete tunnel, has to be rebuilt.
Mick and Audrey there in Williamstown and Galway. Junior Minister in the Department of Agriculture, Michael Healy-Ray, is still with us. Minister, a grower said to me during the week, if I failed a TB test, I would have vets and I would have department officials at the gate within hours offering advice and a compensation check. But if you lose a polytunnel in a storm, the department doesn't seem to have a clue what it is that they should be doing. Growers say, and they're texting the programme this morning already, they're saying they want to hear clear, unqualified, unambiguous message of support from you this morning. Have you got their backs?
Oh, I absolutely would, because outside of Audrey and Mick, I have been contacted by people from the horticulture sector very strongly, obviously, over the last number of days. Now, the work is ongoing, as some of the growers are actually still assessing the situation on the ground, and indeed the full extent of the damage caused may not become apparent until the repairs commence and until crops develop. But I will be meeting with representatives of all the horticultural subsectors at a meeting of the Horticulture Industry Forum on the 11th of February. Now, that was to be the 25th, but I look for it to be brought forward because of the urgency of the situation. This will provide me with an opportunity to hear directly from the growers on the impacts of the starm on their sector, as well as the wider issues and opportunities for the sector. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a provision in the programme for government to develop an extreme weather event system scheme for homes, communities and organisations, and farmers and businesses. Now, I am engaging with my government colleagues on this issue, and I will be doing that very strongly after I meet with the representatives of the horticultural industry on the 11th, because I know that Minister Martin Hayden and all of my other colleagues are extremely concerned for this very important sector. And I know what they want to hear today is they want to hear what is the government going to do to help us. I
can very specifically on that, Minister, what they really want to hear is that when somebody like Mick Wright makes a phone call to a polytunnel supplier, he wants to know that the government is going to underwrite him. Are you of a mind to do that?
Well, whether you're of a mind to do it or not, of course I would be of a mind to do it. But again, I can only do what I can do. And the one thing that I can tell these people that are affected, I really appreciate on the ground what has happened to them. It is soul destroying to go out and see a lifetime of work maybe damaged or half damaged or completely destroyed. I know what that's like. As a person who's gone through all life's difficulties myself, I know what situations
the
like that
are. Kind words
are
always appreciated, but they want to hear something concrete this morning, Minister.
Well, the biggest concrete thing that I can tell them is that, yes, I will be ensuring that everything that is within my remit to do, and I know that my colleagues will want to do the same. There is provisions in the programme for government for urgent situations like this. It is a matter of, first of all, assessing what is required, quantifying what is required, and then lobbying and fighting to get that to help them. But I have no intention in the world of letting a very important sector like this in our agri-food business, of abandoning them or letting them on to their own devices. We will be doing everything we can to assist them.
Because the magnitude of this is really quite serious. And when you think about what we could be looking at a couple of months from now, because if growers have lost their propagation tunnels and they don't get them reinstated within the next 8 to 12 weeks, there's going to be no seedlings for them to plant, which in turn means that there's going to be food shortages this summer, which could lead to some really serious food price inflation this summer. That's what's at stake here, Minister.
But yes, Philip, but you're 100% correct. And if you remember at the very beginning, that's what I said to you. The work is ongoing because you have to, first of all, assess a problem and evaluate it and see what the total context of it is to know how you're going to react it. And right now, this minute, nobody can actually come up forward and say, well, this is a total assessment of the damage done. And that is why I wanted to bring forward the meeting from the 25th of February to the 11th, because it is really, really important that we bring all the stakeholders together and that we then know the full extent, because I am hearing the horror stories from here and from there. But we need, it's very easy, for example, to go out with the satellites and do what we did in the forestry sector.
But we don't need the satellites. I mean, you have Mick Wright there saying, look, the total damage is €100,000. He wants to know today, as do other growers, have you got his back in putting his business back in the way that it was before A1 arrived?
I answered to that already, but I was just making the point. It's easier to assess some situations than others. And that's why this, you said it yourself, the total impact of this is not going to be realised for a while because of the knock-on effects. It's not just what you see happening today or the damage done. It's the future aspects of the detrimental effect that's going to have in your business and your crops. So will I have their backs? Is this going to be a time that government are going to abandon or support? I can assure you, from the Taoiseach, to Minister Hayden, to myself and everyone else, we do have the backs, because I said this at the very beginning of this government. This is going to be a government of listening, of understanding and of wanting to help people in all the different sectors.
Minister,
and of course now at this urgent time in forestry and horticulture and all farming sectors, because a lot of other sectors of farming have been affected as well with the situation.
Indeed, but horticulture and forestry are your responsibilities. That's why we were 100%. Talking to you about this morning. Minister Michael Healy-Raith, thank you very much. Now,